China. Wood is our dribbling. For Ream hot water heaters, solar, continuous flow and storage hot water, Ream is Australia's favourite. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Yes, a very good afternoon for Ream Hot Water Heaters. This is the Sunday Rub from McDonald's. Triple M rocks football. We're at the MCG on a magnificent afternoon. It is absolutely superb. Big game here last night. It wasn't football. It was soccer. Roma and, of course, Real Madrid. Excuse me. We're playing here last night in front of 80,000 people. Well, it's going to be the opposite today. It's going to be a lock-in today because we have got Melbourne and Brisbane. And we are looking forward to a quality game of football. But the fact is, these teams don't have a lot of support. And I wouldn't have thought that a lot will be turning up today, given the heavy snowfalls. For all Melbourne supporters, they'll be off and away. Hey, coming up shortly, Ben Stratton of the Hawthorn Footy Club will talk to us. They are now the premiership favourites, without question. We'll talk about that in detail in just a moment. Got the Ducks read a little bit later on. Tell me something I don't know. Another modelling update on our own swatter there as well. So stay tuned for that. As I welcome Wayne Carey, JZJ Clark and Wayne Swass.
Where else would you want to be other than here at the MCG on a beautiful Sunday, sunny Melbourne day, other than in a garden somewhere?
I'm excited about being here. I'm just saying the game won't have a lot of people watching it, but that doesn't mean the game won't be great.
No, I think it'll be quite a good game today. I think it'll be quite entertaining. I'm looking forward to it, BT.
And on the close of this game today, Swatter, we're going directly to Maddie's match over there at Etihad.
Yep, and good afternoon, everybody. Jack Riewoldt, Nick Riewoldt, of course, in honour of Nick's sister and Hugh Goddard, the brother, I think, of Brendan Goddard's making his
cousin,
making his
out
debut
out of the Geelong Falcons, Mickey Turner style.
Just going back, it's reasonably fresh. The sun is out. It's starting to thaw out. You've got your jumper on, your fleecy one. Duck just in good nick with a shirt. I've got a cardi on, and Jay-Z's got a cardi, but he is sweating bullets. What's going on, Jay-Z?
You are sweating, Jay-Z. What happened, mate?
Well, I happened to go to the wrong ground. We've all done it. I've gone to Etihad. 35 past, rang our producer, said the doors are locked. He said, you're not at Etihad, are you? We're at the MCG. So I jumped in a cab. I got about roughly 25 minutes to get to the ground. Jump in the cab, straight into a traffic jam. I hang out with a cabbie for a couple of minutes. He said, mate, I don't think we're going to make it. And I'm thinking of BT and the boys here. I'm thinking, this is not good. And I said to the cabbie, I said, if I run from here, from Spencer Street Station, I've got 20 minutes to get there. Do you think I can do it? He said, you got no chance. You're not going to make it. I'm carrying newspapers. I got my iPad. I got two sets of earphones. No, I'm in full garb. And I got here. I made it.
You are here. And boys, well done, Jay-Z, getting here. Good effort indeed. Hawthorn, I mentioned, now looking in superb form. And Duck just said, wow, seven in a row. But it's not the seven in a row. It's the fact they've averaged a winning margin of about 50 points. But it's more the last three games where they've wiped away three contenders. Collingwood, okay, Fremantle, and Sydney last night. They are extraordinary. They play Richmond after Carlton next week as well.
By a long way. They're the most attacking. They're the best defensive unit. They do it all. They've got the best decision making makers. They've got the best skill level of any team. I actually reckon there's a fair gap between Hawthorn and the rest of the competition, and they've proved it the last 2 weeks.
But Duck, we're in the middle of the year. There's quite a few weeks to go in the season.
I understand that
it can still go further up, but it could come down.
I actually think they're building, BT. They didn't have a great start to the year. I think this machine is just starting to gain momentum.
Having said that, I think Fremantle are still building as well. But I definitely agree with Hawthorn. I don't think they've played their best footy.
I do think there's another coming of Fremantle. I agree with that. I think they've had their flat period. Yep. And I think they'll now just build that nicely.
And that'd need to be off the back of Matthew Pavlich finding some form. Hayden Ballantyne looks as though he may be out next week. BT, we await confirmation with a shoulder. So they've got some key players. But I'm with Duck. It's the manner in which they've dispatched both Sydney and Fremantle last week. And I heard you again last night, BT, saying that game was in Tassie. So that distinctly advantages Hawthorn. But it's a 12-goal win for Hawthorn last week. If you take five goals off because it's played in Tassie, that's still a 7-goal win against Fremantle. And what they did to Sydney last night, I've felt this for a while. I don't believe Sydney have improved, and I don't believe that Sydney have a game plan that can seriously challenge Hawthorn.
Is there another team in the competition when you lose your best player? They lost Buddy, they won a premiership. They lost Roughhead like Roughhead didn't play last week, they flogged Fremantle. They lose players. They do not rely on any of their players. No. If Hodge misses, they still win. You look at North Melbourne. If Goldstein goes down, where are they? I mean, there's every team has got someone they just can't afford. Fife goes down for Freo, they're in big trouble. Hawthorn don't have that.
And you know, with Sydney, they don't appear, for a team that's at the top, they don't appear to have great depth. And the way I judge the depth is I look at the ins and outs every week, and I see that Towers is either in or out every week.
Yep.
Right? And, you know, Gary Rowan's in or out. And they don't seem to go past about 25, 26 players. Mm. Hawthorn have played 33 players this year, and every one of those players that's come in has contributed and could step into that team in a grand final day on any day.
And Will Langford gets dropped last week. He's not playing this week.
Is that the depth? Is that because they pay $1.7 million on two players?
I don't know what the reasoning for it is. But look, they haven't been tested fully in injury. They're about to be because Teddy Richards is in a spot of bother. Kirk Tippett, the old P, that was not looking all that good last night, was it?
And no, you called that early, Doug.
Sore pinky? Couldn't get back out there?
Sore pinky, yeah. No, it wasn't great by Kurt. And I said earlier in the year, they've got some real decisions to make. I know we've got to think about this year, but they'd be starting to plan for next year. You have to wonder, $800,000 for Kurt Tippett, and I said it earlier, so I'm just going to back up what I've already said. You'd have to wonder, BT, whether that... Well, it's clearly not worth it. So how much currency does he have if they were to bite the bullet and say, we've made a mistake here, Schwatter, let's try and go and get a couple of other players.
Does he have currency?
Let's trade him to a Gold Coast or a Greater Western Sydney or one of those to get a little bit back and free up some money in the salary cap, because they're going to have to keep the likes of Parker and Hannabury. I know Hannabury's just signed, but they've got to keep these this young talent. Mitchell's the other one.
Don't write them off yet. Give them a chance to recover, Sydney. Give them a couple of weeks and then we'll have another look at them. All right, Swatters, is that all right with you?
Yeah, it's fine.
We have the God-given right to change our mind in 2 weeks, BT, if they start winning.
We often do. Hey, listen, Ben Stratton is on the line, fellas, playing an integral part in the Hawthorn lineup at the moment. We speak about their depth. It is unbelievable. Ben, appreciate your time. I think you've just jumped off this plane, haven't you?
Yeah, just landed in sunny Melbourne. Beautiful.
It is. Congratulations on the win, dear. We're just talking about, you know, the upside of Hawthorn, and Duck, and I agree with him, says that you probably really even haven't reached your best form yet. You're still climbing and searching towards the end of the year.
Obviously a bit shaky early, but starting to find some good form. And, we set our sights on top four at the start of the year, and if we can do that, it'll give ourselves the best chance, definitely.
Hey, Ben, if you go back to, not that you probably want to, but the most complete game that I've seen Hawthorn play in the last 2.5 years was last year's grand final, and I support what BT and Duck have both said, that you're building and building quite well. But in relation to that grand final, put the result to the side, in relation to that complete performance, how far off do you think you are to that performance in last year's grand final over the last couple of weeks?
You probably can't really compare to that game, because obviously, you're not going to reach that height in too many games. So I think it's just important, as you said, the depth, getting blokes on the field, rotating. I think we've had 30-odd players rotating through. And if a few are a bit out of form or injured, then we can fill those other guys. They can just take their spot. And so I think it's just building towards the end of the year, and getting everyone on the park is pretty important.
Ben, it's Jay Clark here from the Herald Sun. The Hawks' ball use at the moment looks like the best we've ever seen. It's so lethal the way you move the footy. Can you tell us about David Rath's role at the club? He's the biomechanist who seemingly gets all the young draftees, puts them in his special cell there with all the cameras and the suits, and breaks down everyone's kicking action. Is he so influential in setting right your kicking technique from the moment you walk in the door?
Yeah, I think he is. He calls himself a biomechanist. But, I think blokes sort of go after him off their own bat, and if they need some help with their kicking or whatever, and he tinkers with a few things. And I think the good thing he's done is work with the technique they've got, and then, just changed a few little things to definitely help. And, he's a pretty important role, Rathi, and... he's definitely helped the younger guys and even some of the older guys as well.
Do you think from that perspective, that sports science or technical perspective, the Hawks were ahead of the curve in a little bit with that role then, Ben?
I'm not sure what other teams do and if they'd have those sort of specialty kicking coaches, but Yeah, you listen, some other sides have got, you know, their specialty roles that they do that Hawthorn don't actually have. So I think it's whatever suits the playing group, and that seems to suit us pretty well.
At the end of the day, you know what they've done? They've recruited footballers and good decision makers. I want to know, do you actually, is there any drills that you do for decision making during the week? Because that's the other thing that you guys do better than anyone. You've got guys on every line that just make great decisions 100% of the time.
Yeah, I suppose coupled with our sort of skills training and, you know, contested training, yeah, you've got to do a certain amount of decision-making drills, because that's probably half the game these days, is, having good skilled players that can make decisions. So, yeah, definitely probably about half our training is decision-making and skills. And yeah.
Hey, Ben, have you been surprised with the manner in which you've been able to dispatch both Fremantle and Sydney in the last fortnight?
I don't know. It's the weekend's game. It didn't seem like we sort of it panned out that way. It was actually a pretty feisty game and a lot of hard hits. And I think we were lucky enough they missed a few shots, and we were lucky enough to kick a few shots.
And Ben, we spoke to Ruffy on 7 after the game in regard to the exposed bolts behind the goal. I'm not sure whether he's had a chance to speak to you, but what did you make of that in terms of an occupational health and safety issue for players?
Yeah, I was sitting right next to him actually, but yeah, he just took a little bit of a slide, and he's fine. Had a bit of betadine on the back,
What about from the point of view of the players and the ground being prepared for play from a player's point of view?
Oh, yeah, well, obviously the player safety is the number one, and I think that ANZ State will be working on that along with the NRL, because I think they have a few games on there a week, and sort of not like the MCG. So, yeah, I think they're working with that, with the AFL and ANZ Stadium as well, to try and improve that. Yeah, Big Ruff's all right.
Yeah, all right. Well, Big Ruff, good. Tell him to smile a bit and just give it a bit of a stretch, and it'll all come back soon.
Yeah, I will.
Good on you, Ben. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Stratton joining us on Triple M Footy.
Ruffy, BT, Brian, my apologies. Just had word through from the AFL, who said it was completely unacceptable what happened to Jared Ruffhead last night.
Well, can I say this? The AFL is saying they've launched an investigation. The ground staff have launched an investigation. I want to short-circuit the investigation, Joe. And I just want the ground staff to say, we stuffed up. We left some exposed bolts that were clear. They should have been cut off. They weren't. It's our fault.
Yep.
That's the end of the investigation. What are they investigating? No, it's obvious that the bolts were left exposed and should have been cut off at the base.
Mm. It needs to not happen again, and there needs to be protocols to make sure that these things are checked.
How does it happen in the first place? Well, obviously, this is the best competition in the land. Mm.
Let's have a listen to what Jared Ruffhead said about it.
Oh, well, mate, as you can imagine, it wasn't nice. Yeah, sliding. You wouldn't have think that there'd be some exposed bolts there during a game, but, yeah, you can tell by that vision that it didn't really feel nice, and when you see him there, it's pretty dangerous, I reckon.
When you got up, did you glance down? You would have been shocked at what you saw, I guess.
Yeah, well, as you saw the bolts there, and I didn't really think that... I noticed late in the game they were covering, but that's probably 3.5 quarters too late, isn't it?
And not only did they cover them, then my man, Big Boy McAvoy, just about did the old ice skating trip on top of the cover. Now, this is what happened. So it happened just before three-quarter time, and we decided that at three-quarter time we'd go over and have a look and get a close-up and send Lingy over there to have a bit of a chat about it. And as soon as the ground staff saw Lingy heading over there with camera crew following, they all of a sudden decided they'd get over there with a mat and try and beat him there. Well, they didn't beat him there. And halfway through his report, they're laying the mat over his feet. Not even an excuse me. What do they think? We're stupid that we can't, you know, we've already seen it. What's the point? Yep. Mm. And I just thought their behaviour, their irrational behaviour at ANZ Stadium last night was really ordinary.
Well, it could be the last straw for ANZ Stadium. There's a bit of an ownership issue at the moment. It's contracted to have Sydney football matches next year, but I think this could be the death knell for ANZ Stadium. I think all the Sydney games could be played at the SCG from next season.
Well, it could be, with a stroke of luck, the last game we ever play at ANZ Stadium, providing finals this year. There's no more ANZ home and away games, providing the finals in the NRL work out the way that we can use the SCG. So it all depends on that. So and then they get on top of that contract they've got for next year as well.
And Clarko, I think last night, said that every club would be pretty happy to see the end of ANZ Stadium, so he wasn't thrilled with it either.
Yep, indeed we would. West Coast last night recorded their fifth consecutive victory and look in really good form at the top end of the ladder at the moment, doing a great job. And Collingwood, on the other hand, having lost four consecutive games. And I don't see that as a big deal for Collingwood. I mean, it was only a couple of weeks ago that people were starting to talk them up more than they should have. It's, for me, it's never been about this year for Collingwood. It's about in, say, 2 years' time. That's when they're going to be hitting their straps with all these young players they've got. What they were getting at the start of this year was an absolute bonus. And then people jump on and get carried away as a result of that. But I reckon they'd still be happy as a club, behind closed doors and off the public record, to sneak into the eight and perhaps play a final. And I reckon that's what they started out to achieve at the start of the year. And I think that's probably going to where they end up. What about West Coast, though?
Well, I think they might have emerged yesterday as the biggest threat to Hawthorn. We've seen Fremantle and Sydney fall by the wayside in the past couple of weeks. I think Fremantle were pretty good against Carlton last night on their home deck, but didn't exactly blow them away. When you look at West Coast forward line, their defensive structure, and the way their midfield operate, with no one able to lay even a glove on Andrew Gaff, McGovern, we know, hamstring at the moment, could be missing for three to five weeks, and that's a massive blow because he's been sensational at centre half forward. They're but I look at the way they play.
They're so in the four, Joe. They haven't beaten any of the other three teams that are in the four with them. Haven't beaten them.
Well, you look at their run to come, and Adam Simpson said this himself.
Sydney, Gold Coast, Hawthorn, Fremantle, Dogs, Adelaide, St Kilda.
How many at home, BT?
They have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at home.
You must be impressed by them, Duck.
Yeah, no, I am. And I think the fact that they had so many injuries in their defence, that has made Adam Simpson play the type of defence they are, which is that zone defence, and it's made them more attacking. Because let's not forget that last year when Simo took over, the start of last year, they didn't want to go forward. Yep. They were holding it up. They didn't want to get it in. They had this great forward line that we're now talking about, you know, being fantastic and high scoring and exciting to watch. But they didn't want to go forward because they had a really solid defence. They've lost that defence, so now they're attacking. And McGovern's going to be a big loss, but we said that about the others that they've lost.
McKenzie.
Yeah, yep. McKenzie this year already. So, no, I really like West Coast. I like the style of footy they play. Just to go back about Collingwood, BT.
Yep.
I agree with you. You and I have always been on the same page about them, where they're actually at. And remember, last year they were 8-3. They were 8-3 at one point. They've had, people keep saying they've had four honourable losses. Mm-hmm. Well, they have. They've played some good teams. Unfortunately, I agree with you. That's just where they're at. They're not at that level yet to beat those top teams. So I agree with you. I don't think they're surprised by what's occurred. I think they would have thought they'd beat Port. But other than that, and I think they probably thought that they could beat West Coast in Melbourne as well.
And to think right now that Hawthorn are going to run away and win the premiership would be really a careless thinking, I reckon. There's seven games to go in this season. Remember last year towards the end of the year, Sydney were unbeatable.
Yeah.
No one was going to get near them. Things can change very quickly. Yeah. Sides can get themselves up for those big games at the end of the year on a one-off basis, etc. Get players back into the side. Get your full teams out there. Get Buddy kicking 5 and Tippett kicking 3, and all of a sudden they're competitive with any team in the competition. How many times have we seen them do that?
No, you're right, but that's the problem with Sydney. Yep. And that's the difference between the two sides.
Yep.
And that is they rely on Buddy.
Yep.
Buddy's got to kick a bag. Tippett doesn't kick too many bags, but they need him up there for structural reasons. And that's the difference between the two teams. Hawthorn are a great team. Sydney's a team of stars.
To the West Coast Eagles, 12 wins for the year now off the back of yesterday's. They've got 5 games at home. So let's give them 4 because they're a pretty good team at home. So that gets them to 16. They just need to pick one more win up on the road,
well,
Jay-Z.
16 wins gets you into fourth position last year.
All right. Well, they need another 2. So they're not far off. And I think it's been a great turnaround from Adam Simpson. But I think McGovern, along with McKenzie and Mitch Brown. Up against Hawthorn in a big final, you'll need all three defenders. You'd need all your best defenders to play one. I think the other thing
you can't zone against Hawthorn.
No, that's right. And I think the other thing that has helped the West Coast Eagles is that they have benefited from the bottom third placings. They finished in the bottom six. They get a more favourable draw, and that's not a criticism of them.
That's the
draw. But they have benefited from that fixture.
And they have not, and I repeat, played the other three sides in the top four yet, even though we're at this sort of two-thirds of the season through.
Do you think, BT and Duck, do you think that West Coast can beat either Fremantle and or Sydney?
I think West Coast will be off the pace when it comes to finals at the end of the year. I think right now, home and away footy, as Duck would tell more than any of us, home and away footy is very different from finals footy. I think at the moment they're on the pace and doing a great job. I think when the finals come, they'll be slightly off it. And I think Fremantle will be there. I think Sydney will be there with the full team. And I think that Hawthorn naturally will be there. What about Travis Cloak?
Well, he hurt his calf in pretty dramatic circumstances halfway through the first quarter yesterday.
Innocuous, Jay-Z.
Yeah, well, he was out on the lead, pushing out to the wing, as you called it, Schwatter. He's having scans today. The doctors will look at it later, and they'll have a finding tomorrow morning, the club is saying. Now, he is absolutely crucial to their forward structure. And Jesse White isn't having a great time of it, it's fair to say. And Elliot missed with back soreness yesterday. So it really depletes their forward structure when you think that Ben Reid can't get a game. They might have to look to Darcy Moore, if as a calf we know can be troublesome, he may miss a month. You know, they can be difficult injuries. It's the last thing they want with Collingwood trying to push into the finals. So their forward line next week, if Elliott doesn't get up, they hopefully will, could look very different. They could be relying on a first-year player in Darcy Moore. And Buck said during his press conference yesterday that it was a bit of a blow to their structure.
In fact, let's have a listen to what he did say.
It'll be speculated on and it'll be written, but that doesn't make it so. You know, we haven't had a win for five or six weeks, given the bye was in the middle of it. So GWS round 11, sitting at 8-3, looking all right. We're 8-7 now. As far as their football goes, you know, some of the football we've played in the last month has been better than anything that we displayed in the first half of the year. So we're not going to get carried away with a run of losses.
Yes, and they have Western Bulldogs, Melbourne and Carlton to come. Collingwood?
There's another kid in the VFL team going very well. He's a big key forward, lightning quick, Jonathan Marsh, who they're very happy with. He's a big chance to make his debut next week. But, fellas, tell us about Jesse White.
Just for Collingwood fans, one thing, just before you talk about Jesse White, not to forget the big picture here. They have planned for the big picture in a couple of years. Yes, they're hoping to get some success along the way, but don't be despondent about it because they are going to be where they should be this year.
Well, as Bucks just said, some of their form over the past month has been an emphatic endorsement of what they've done. In fact, they've played some great footy against Hawthorn Friend over the last month. But you look at their forward structure now, you take Cloak out of it, Duck, and Damien Hardwick called it Big Boy Month. Where is Jesse White at as a forward?
Jesse's a tease. He's a nearly player. He nearly plays a good game. He plays a good quarter. He plays in good patches.
So what's missing in his arsenal?
Well, athletically, he is a superb athlete. He's super quick. He's big. He's strong. He can mark the footy. He's got a great leap. He's got all of that.
Has he got a big tank or not?
For me, it's all about upstairs. Hasn't got a great footy IQ. He actually... At times, when a smart defender's playing on him, he will stand in the wrong spot to allow that defender to play off to double-team Cloak. So he's not really smart when it comes to that. But, geez, then at other times you watch him, Swatter, and you go, where's this been? Mm. And I've watched Collingwood a fair bit. He can start well. His first quarter can be good, and then he will not touch it for three quarters. So he's got some work to do on his footy IQ and also... Probably, BT, go in and see the same psychologist that Trav sees for his goal kicking or something. because he does. He needs to work through a whole game. And I'm not sure about his tank, so I can't sit here and guess whether he's got a good tank or not, because I don't know.
I think if you looked at all of his good games, whether it be at Sydney or at Collingwood, he's played well when there's been a main target that he's inside forward 50 with. He's not your go-to man. We called it yesterday. He got his hands to a lot of the ball, should have taken
a nearly
10 to 12
player,
and dropped so many of them. And the other thing that I watched pretty closely yesterday was that when you're in good form, you'll provide a contest, the ball will hit the ground, then you'll follow up, you'll go again. The good players do that. The moment the ball's 3 metres away from Jesse White, he stops and he just watches play. And I think that says a lot about his lack of confidence at the moment. And unfortunately for him, well, fortunately in one respect, he'll probably play next week because Trav's out. But unfortunately for him, he's not your main man because he doesn't have that ability to play that style of footy.
Has he played one whole good game in his whole career?
wouldn't
he's played good
quarters. Yeah, I think he has.
No, I think he's played good quarters, BT, and he's played good halves, but I don't think he's played a whole game from start to finish where you go every quarter he's contributed.
I can't remember it. No.
All right. We're going to take a break. Now, just on today, Duck, I would think that the look of the MCG, there's not a flutter of the flags, there's not a cloud in the sky. This is garden day.
Oh, it is, BT. This is one of those days... When you wake up...
Where would we go?
No, you wake up, the birds are chirping. No, we're playing on the MCG, BT. You wake up, the birds are chirping. The clippings, you're smelling the clippings off the lawn. You're driving to the MCG and you just pray that you're playing on a Wakeland.
So Wakeland was your bitch.
That's a joke, by the way. A lot of my mates are good friends with the Wakeland boys, and they give it to them all the time.
Take a break.
I think it's a massive day for Melbourne today. I know you'll get to the game later, but I think they are absolutely vulnerable with Brisbane getting a couple of key names back in with Rockliffe and Hanley. They've been a little bit better over the past 3 weeks. Melbourne could lose today.
Oh, really? So a massive day for Melbourne today. So tomorrow, let's assume Melbourne lose.
Yep.
What will be different?
Well, we're asking about the direction of the footy club. Yeah, the media pass comes down to Amy and has a chat to Peter Jackson and says, where's his footy club at? Because they're expected to beat Essendon last week. Flop. They come against Brisbane today, expected to win. We'll see what happens. They've got St Kilda next week as well.
And it doesn't matter whether they win or lose today, does it?
Oh, it does. Yeah, the people at Melbourne are... regard today as a pretty big day. A pretty big day for Chris Dawes.
I agree with you. I think that they're expected to win today and they should win.
Win number five is crucial, is it, for the club?
No, they're in the exact same position that they were last year right now. So yes. Same amount of wins and losses.
Yep.
But I think they've got to start beating BT. It's actually not about... They've got to start beating teams that we expect them to beat. And I think that they're a better team right now than Brisbane. So we expect them to win.
You're dismissive of Melbourne, aren't you, BT?
I'm a little bit...
That's sort of reflective of what the footballing population...
He doesn't like Melbourne.
No, it's almost as if the D's are a little bit irrelevant, JC, outside of the footy club.
That's the truth. What about Chris Dawes today? When are we going to put the spotlight on Chris Dawes? He came across to Melbourne, $500,000, big money. How's he going? I reckon he's coming close to being dropped from this footy side. They got Jesse Hogan, who's going well, but Chris Dawes is... I think they want more from him. So just watch him today, can you please, Doug?
I will. I'm looking for... Actually, you know what, BT, you've been very facetious about this game today, but if you look at it, there's some really talented individuals in both teams.
And I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really looking forward to watching
those but I don't reckon the result matters to either team in terms of the overall big build picture.
I think it does.
Disagree strongly.
Okay. All right. Tomorrow, get ready, everybody. Melbourne is going to be plastered all over the paper and news because this is so important today. Hey, let's move on.
Yes.
Geelong.
Yeah. Well, they did enough. They did enough against the Bulldogs yesterday.
Now, Geelong have got a lot of old players, Jay-Z.
9 31-year-olds.
Who are they?
Steve Johnson, James Kelly, Matty Stokes, Jared Rivers, Tom Lonergan, who's contracted next year, will definitely go again. Corey Enright, Hamish McIntosh, who won't play another game of footy, Jimmy Bartel and Andrew Mackey. Uh-huh. I've got 3 ticks out of the 9 for going ahead next year.
Let's assume that they're all ticks at the moment, Duck. We want to go through those and have a duck cross next to them with support from Swatter.
Okay, we're going to do that now, are we?
Yeah, you and Swatter do it together.
Well, I think Stevie J plays on. I have my doubts about Kelly.
Hang on. Swatter?
Stevie question J? Mark, Stevie J. Falling over
okay,
a lot now.
I think he plays
we'll
on.
We give him a tick then.
I think that there's a question mark about Kelly. He may very well retire, so he'll take it out of their hands. Stokes definitely plays on for me. Rivers definitely plays on for me. Lonergan, obviously. Enright will retire at the end of the year.
Put
so
across, yeah.
McIntosh, clearly, because he hasn't played. So I think Bartel will play on, as will Mackey.
So 2 crosses out of all
just
of those
two,
players.
Just 2.
From a list management perspective,
I don't disagree with much about that.
I reckon Chris Scott is currently clearing the path to make more than 2 changes
to
their
list. Who else, do you think will go? Out of those ones then?
So, Kelly, you didn't have a cross next to?
No, yes, I said, question mark.
Question mark. Yep. Well, why don't you just toughen up a bit and put a cross next to him?
Okay, so Kelly and Enright will both retire.
I think Jared Rivers is definitely gone, only because of his knees. I think he's playing good footy, but
Rivers has had his best year for the club.
He has, but his knees are a massive issue for the footy club.
I think he might be gone too.
Yeah, I think he's finished. Steve Johnson, I'm with you on Kelly. Massive question mark. I think he's finished. And I think Steve Johnson, I think this could be the end for Steve Johnson. Hey, I mean, it was better yesterday.
You reckon this could be his last year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think him and Kelly go, clears up about 900 grand from the Cats' salary cap. They go after Dangerfield, Lockie Henderson and Scotty Selwood.
Well, he won't get all three.
So that is the thing. They're going to get Dangerfield in, so they do have to clear 700 there, don't they, in the salary cap?
Yeah, my sources from West Coast tell me that they think, and the players think, that Scotty Selwood's going to be at Geelong next year. Because you think the Cats' contested ball rate, right, they're ranked bottom two, bottom three. They have all year. You take Selwood out and they're hugely vulnerable. Thankfully, yesterday, Josh Caddy stood up with them. But they know they need reinforcement in there. So you put Scott Selwood in there, you put Patrick Dangerfield bursting away from the clearances, all of a sudden, they're a premiership contender
again. Mitch Duncan's back.
It changes the whole look of their side.
I tell you what they do, the Cats, and they had their captain out yesterday. Whenever you just think they're just going to fall off the perch, they prop up again yesterday and have a win that you don't expect them to win.
I didn't think they were that impressive yesterday. I think Motlop got them over the line.
Well, they won.
Yep. Mm.
Against a team that has been reasonably impressive.
What do you think about Steve Johnson and James Kelly?
Yeah, I'm not sure about Steve Johnson. My gut feeling is, this is not my personal feeling, my gut feeling is the club will let him go again. You know, my opinion may be different, but as a player that's still contributing to the team, I think you'll
go. But how many players do you let continue to go on,
though? That's the decision they've got to make. You've got 9 players on that list there. I reckon at the end of this year, at least 4 of them have to be gone.
I agree.
And we've just gone through them, and it's really hard to put a cross next to them, but 4 of them have to go.
I agree.
To clear the way.
Exactly right.
But do you let make the choice?
The reason why it's hard, and once again, I don't necessarily think I just think Kelly may retire, as I do, Enright retire. I don't. It's so hard when they've been 3-time premiership players for your club and champions of your club. We sit here as just admirers of this team, and it's hard for us. Mm. So how hard is it going to be for Chris
Scott?
Have
they managed their list well? Because it's a conundrum for them, because there's so many great players that in their own right deserve the opportunity to make their own choice.
Yeah. So, Doug, if you got your opportunity to play out your career at North Melbourne, would you have gone willingly?
I'd be still playing.
Would you have had to have been pushed out the door?
No. I always said, well, I retired from the Crows.
Because people at North Melbourne would have had the attitude that you just said there. It's hard to push a champion out the door that's played in a couple of premierships and captained them for
you. Well, Essendon are in that predicament right now, and so are the Kangaroos, really. I mean, Boomer Harvey played a really good game the other night, but he's got the rest of the year to play, so they've got to decide whether they sort of, is it best for this team for him to play on or not? I personally think that he'll probably play on, but Fletcher's the other one, BT, that, you know, if you believe what you hear from Essendon, that he would continue as long as Chappie was the other one that, you know, wanted to play on. So there are a lot of players that, you know, I guess sometimes have to be pushed because that competitive instinct, and you always think the mind's willing. Mm. Unfortunately, the body lets you down as you get older.
You'd be asking the captain, Joel Selwood. Yep. You'd be thinking, can we win a flag in 3 years' time? What are the changes we need to make to do that?
Would have been intriguing, Swatter, to see the end result of Wayne Carey at North Melbourne, wouldn't it?
You know the answer, Brian.
Well, yeah, he would have got his own way. Jay-Z's got all the latest in news for us today. Just before we do get going, Jay-Z, I was interested in an article in yesterday's Herald Sun, I think it was, Johnny Rolfe, a story on Brad Scott and Boomer and the whole thing, and we spoke a lot about this last week with Brad Scott, and it seemed to me that article was almost purely based on the quotes out of that conversation that we had with Brad Scott, yet there was no attribution or source sort of
acknowledgement,
which was rather desponding.
Well, Brad, they were very strong quotes from Brad Scott, because he was pretty blunt about Boomer. So good recognition of your questioning at the time, I think, Boomer. But you're right, normally we do sort of have a set on Triple M, that sort of stuff. I think that's the way we roll, don't we?
Yep. What else have we got?
Hey, having after the Collingwood loss yesterday, we sort of made some a lot of phone calls, drilled down on the Adam Treloar issue, who it looks like he's set to leave GWS. And from what I was told last night from a source very close to it, that Collingwood is in the absolute box seat. In fact, the Pies might just start clearing out a locker for Adam Treloar at the moment. So how would you rate Adam Treloar at the moment, BT?
Going okay. I haven't seen a lot of GWS, not sure to tell you the truth, but he appears to be going okay.
GWS don't need Treloar. That's the position they're in. They've got that much talent through the middle of the ground. They can afford to say, okay, you want to go? Go. They'd get something for him and set themselves up. They probably need another key defender. Mm. You know, they're in the market to let him go and get that exact thing.
Give us another one, Jay-Z.
We spoke earlier about the Geelong Cats veterans and how the 31-year-olds might be falling off the perch. Hodge and Mitchell, I think, at the moment, are battling out for the Hawthorn best and fairest, aged 32 each. And Cyril Rioli is also having his best year.
Yeah, Hodge is having his best year. Cool.
Well, he could win their best and fairest this year, aged 32, which is absolutely unbelievable, given after, 2009, 2010?
Missed three games for the suspension.
Yep.
Does that cost... I'm not sure of their system in the BNFBT, but a lot of the systems, if you miss a few games, generally pretty hard to win.
But he gets full votes in the games he plays well, and we've seen last night and again the week before.
Big.
And they're right up there as well. Hey, another guy I want you to watch closely today, Duck, is James Aish, because Brisbane now concede that he has left the club, not physically, but mentally. And he's been only average in his form this year.
He's the sub today.
He's the sub. Well, there you go. There's another statement from Justin Lepich, because they don't think that he's mentally switched on at the minute. What does he get? If Brisbane, if they don't get a top 20 pick from Carlton, who we think is in the box seat there, they'll put him in the draft and he can go for nothing. It's time for this footy club to make a stand.
These young kids, I understand what you're saying, but these young kids that really haven't done anything, and then they say they're leaving the club, and they're all of a sudden a superstar. Mm. And they go, oh, well, they're going to get this. The kid's done nothing. He's not even really getting a game. And I think partly that is because they know he's leaving, so they're making it hard for the kid. But he really doesn't have a lot of currency, does
nice
he, BT?
Nice if they can earn a dollar and haven't done nothing, though, Doug. Always a bonus.
last one.
Hurry up.
A club has come hard for Robbie Tarrant from North Melbourne. He's a free agent, so he can leave.
Which club? Cut to the chase.
I think it might be the one we're watching today.
Melbourne?
Brisbane.
Oh, okay. Brisbane it is, coming for Robbie Tarrant. Hey, let's go down in to the rooms here, Brisbane rooms. Mickey Roberts is down there. We welcome you today, Mickey. Big day for the Brisbane Lions today.
It is, BT. I'm not in the changing rooms. I'm actually in the Harrison room. It's a reunion, Fitzroy and Brisbane. And I tell you what, it is a 40 years celebration of the Fitzroy jumper when it went from maroon to the red because of television, colour TV, 1975. But I've been shouldering up with Bulldog Murray, Kevin Murray, the Brownlow medalist. He's in his leather trench coat with his Brownlow medal swinging around his neck. Fantastic to see him. Rossi Thornton, Serafini, there's quite a few from the 60s and 70s here. Really good stuff, the fact that they can actually get the old Fitzroy boys to celebrate with the Brisbane Lions. Obviously great history, tremendous history. And we'll be chatting to a few of them later on so we can actually get a bit of an insight on what's going on today. But sensational from the club.
Beautifully done. Mickey Roberts there with some of the greats. Time now to tell me something I don't know. Let's jump into that little segment. Swatter, I'm holding here in my hand, showing the boys as we speak on my big mobile phone here, a skinny-looking kid almost sort of operator in some giant bicycle clothing.
Where'd that come from?
Lycra style. Have a look at the face, the close look at the face in the giant gear. That is Wayne Swass. a la model style. And have a look at the little beaver box on the front here in the Lycra.
Brian,
look at that field.
That better stay within this box. That does not go public.
That is amazing modelling there, Swatter. Lean looking running machine.
Model for Gorilla Biscuits.
So that's my tell me something I don't know. Have a look at it. We'll post it online.
Will we?
You're taking this model business serious now, Swatter. The Instagramming and the...
just do them a bit.
You're looking good.
Hey, next Sunday, boys, have we got our invites? Last cab to Darwin. It's debuting. I'm sure we're bound to get our invitation. You got yours, Doug?
What's Last Cab to Darwin?
It's a sort of independent movie, and our man Bristol has a speaking role as a coach.
As a coach?
We're all going, I'm led to believe. Well, we're not sure. We haven't confirmed it yet.
When is it?
Next Sunday.
Oh, I've got to clean cobwebs under the house. I'm going to have to miss it.
You've got to clean the redbacks out. Hey, listen. don't ever have a smarty pants attitude about this one, because this is an award-winning Last Cab to Darwin. Jeremy Sims, a very serious director, has directed this, and I'm just happened to be co-starring with Jackie Weaver and Michael Caton,
who never spoke to you apart from on set. Is that true, Brian?
That's
Jackie?
True. Just Brian, if you could just do your bit over there
and rack off.
What do you got, Duck?
What is it?
Tell me something I don't know. Duck all knows where he is, Duck, doesn't he?
Tell you something I don't know. I haven't got one.
We'll come back to you, JZ.
We all know that David Zaharakis is one of the Essendon players who refused the injections as part of the injection program. Said, "Don't be silly, I'm not doing that." We can tell you that Elliot Kavanagh also said, "Don't put those needles anywhere near me." So instead, they gave him a few pills, I believe, instead of the injection. So just an extraordinary situation. But he was smart enough to say, "Get away from me." Yep.
Duck, I know you didn't have one off the top, mate, but in your life, all you've got to do is think back 24 hours and something will have evolved that we should know about.
Yeah. No, I have got one. I can't say the name, but there is a massive NFL player coming out again, BT, for the grand final.
Wow.
Mm. For the grand final.
A massive name. NFL
massive,
player.
Massive, massive
name. Bigger than Cam Newton.
Bigger than Cam Newton.
Wow. Tim Tebow.
Playing a role or?
No, just here for the, well, you know, Channel 7 has the rights for the NFL, so there's a massive.
Okay, that's the
out.
Link. Right. Channel 7 with the rights for there. All right, time for the duck shoot Swatter.
Yep. Duck, where were you last week? Did the knee blow up again? Last Sunday,
you didn't go to Tassie?
I didn't go to Tassie for one reason.
Yeah?
The flight was getting back too late.
Just please yourself. By the way, what advice would you have for Bernard Tomic?
What advice? Yep. I've got a couple of lawyers over there.
You're a bit of a Miami specialist, aren't you?
No, not really.
If you were playing cricket and you got a nick through to the keeper and the umpire didn't pick it up, would you walk?
Oh, it'd be fair to say you know the answer to that.
What did you make of the cricket at the moment?
What do I make of it?
Yeah, the Aussies.
We are absolutely flying. I'm loving the cricket.
British Open, what do you make of it?
British Open, loving it.
Tour de France?
I'm not a bike man. I'm not a lycra man like my little friend Swatter.
Chris Froome.
Yep.
Got
doing
showered
it nicely.
In. You're right.
Yeah, it was terrible last night, BT.
Shocking. Has to be on it.
Hey, Duck, Robert Walls has said Job Watson should leave the Bombers. Agree? Disagree?
Oh, disagree. Favourite son.
It'd be more chance to walk away from football altogether.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't
it? Well, on Channel 7 on Friday night, he said he lost the love of the game.
Yeah, I heard that.
And not only has he lost it, but a lot of the players have lost it.
Anyone other than Hawthorn win the Premiership, Duck?
They are the favourites, and deservedly so. I think they've just about got it in the bag, BT.
Is it acceptable for Brent Harvey to wear the substitute vest in his 400th game in Brisbane next week?
He won't, no.
Jared Roughead was bolted last night. He had a bolt up his back. You had a run-in with a goalpost in Adelaide. Lots of stitches.
Yep.
Occupation health and safety issue. Will he sue?
Well, he didn't get injured, BT.
Ah, damn it.
How will Port and Adelaide deal with today's emotional showdown?
Every individual will handle it in their own way, so I can't really answer that.
Beautiful day in Melbourne, Duck. If you had to select a beer garden today, which one would it be?
I'd probably sneak down to the botanical. It's not a beer garden, but just sit right out the front.
And which group of mates would you select? Now, you've got a posse of mates in different areas around town.
You'd want the ones on this side of town, BT, right. That are not going to, they're going to fit in to the tan type setup.
So leave the Kilmore operators.
What drink would you start with?
Just a nice pure blonde.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.